And welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. Steve Vaughn, also with me. The Generations Broadcast is a prayer. It's a petition. It's a cry out to God for generational faithfulness, that the Holy Spirit would be poured out upon our children, that our children would prophesy, that our children would speak the Word of God, that our children would be true to the faith. There's no greater joy than to have our children walking in the truth. And we live in an age where there is a pretty severe level of generational apostasy. And so, really, we cannot guarantee it, we cannot predestine it, but we can cry out to God for His blessing upon our children, and that has been the vision of the Generations Ministry from the beginning. I'm so thankful that my parents raised us, six children, on the mission field in Japan, homeschooled us there, and all six children serving God in some capacity somewhere around the world today, as well as the grandchildren. So we've seen something of a generational blessing upon our family, but it's all by the grace of God, Steve. It's all by the grace of God.
Yes, it is. And, I mean, but for the grace of God, go us. I mean, we were dead in our trespasses and our sins, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, made us alive together with Christ. So we were dead. Dead people don't make decisions. But when God made us alive, then, that's the grace and faith that He's given to us.
All by the grace of God. And that God turns the hearts of the fathers to the children, children to the fathers, and we begin to see something of a generational faith develop. Friends, that is, again, a manifestation of God's grace. And here's an interesting data point from Barna Research. Turns out we're not the only ones concerned about this, Steve. 58% of American non-Christians are concerned about their children's spiritual development.
Wow.
That surprised me. Like, what, 58% of American non-Christians concerned about their children's spiritual development? Was that in that, 92% of them send them off to humanist schools in which they receive a spiritual education, in the fact that they are cosmic dust floating on the universe of pure chance, all ethics are arbitrary, and the individual chooses his own standards of right and wrong? Is that the kind of spiritual nurture that they're looking for? I'm not sure every parent has thought very carefully through this, but friends, that's the worldview taught. They don't teach that God created all things by the word of His power in the space of 6 days and all very good back some 6,000 years ago. And we are created to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And His ethics is the only possible definition of what is absolutely right and absolutely wrong. And we have broken His law, and therefore He sent His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin to condemn sin in the flesh. And to save us from our sins. These sorts of things are not being taught in the public schools today. That is not the faith. That is not the spiritual nurture that is being provided by the public schools. That's not the religion taught in the public schools. The Christian religion is not taught in the Christian school, in the public schools today. For Christian parents, it's also interesting that while 58% of American non-Christians are concerned about their children's spiritual development, for Christian parents, that's 84% concerned about their children's spiritual development, and 86% are concerned that their children, quote, stay true to their faith. That's pretty high. I was actually surprised by that.
Yeah. You'd hope it's 100.
Well, it's 84 to 86% of Christian parents are concerned that children will stay true to their faith, and that's significant.
That's good.
I guess the good news is 84% of Christian parents are taking their kids out of the public schools and using our curriculum.
That's really good, yeah. Yeah, I wonder if part of this, especially with the non-Christians, one of the things that I've seen before is that they see our life, and they see that with a lot of us Christians that we have hope. And so I'm wondering if part of it is that they want the results that they're seeing in our lives, but just devoid of having Christ in their lives. So we want to see how we can get to what you guys have just without taking the path that you've taken.
Well, it's also interesting that many non-believing parents have dropped their kids off for Sunday school on a Sunday morning, since the 1920s or maybe even since the 1860s, I don't know. But it was a common thing for parents who did not attend church themselves to drop their kids off on Sunday schools so that they would get some proper spiritual nurture. That seemed to be important. They seemed to have more concern about their children's souls than for their own souls. And so you see something of a hypocrisy about parents who are conveying a message of, it's good for you but not for me, kind of an approach. And it seems to me that you know, this is a definitely hypocrisy, but at the same time, parents have a natural love for their children, and they probably see that there's some value in Christian church, in spiritual nurture, in some kind of teaching of morality, while at the same time, apparently, they don't want to admit that this is the sort of thing they need.
Yeah. I think God has, you know, he's put that law in hearts, and people understand because of the Holy Spirit that there is right and wrong, and they want their kids to kind of understand that. But like you said, you know, maybe it's too late for them. I wonder if that's part of what they're saying. But I've actually heard that attitude before. You know, I'm taking my kids to church because I want them to get some form of morality. But it's way more than just morality. It's got to be that relationship.
84 to 86% of Christian parents are concerned about their children's spiritual development. That's good news, friends, if they're taking their kids out of the public schools and using our curriculum. And I say our curriculum simply because it's a form of curriculum in which, well, we are encouraging a spiritual nurture in which we believe the spiritual nurture should occur in the warp and the woof of the home. Not just on a Sunday morning, but there needs to be a integration of God's Word into every aspect of our children's experience. That's the Deuteronomy 6-7 mandate for us. That as Christian parents, we should be interested in our children hearing God's Word and seeing God's Word integrated into their every subject in their educational experience. So, friends, I guess my question is this, Steve. Why doesn't the concern for the spiritual well-being of the children lead to action to pull their kids out of the public schools? Now, of course, that means that you're going to have to fund your children's education, but it seems to me writing a check for, say, $179 for Generations curriculum, which is about the same price as, you know, Nike KD14 tennis shoes for basketball practice, doesn't seem like $179 for Generations curriculum is that much skin off your nose. That is if you're going to provide a spiritual nurture for your children. So why wouldn't they do it? I guess is my question.
I think it's because of they see that if there is actual commitment. I mean, that there are places in the world where they'll let their kids go to Sunday school, they'll let them go to church, but when it comes to the point where they say, you know, the kid says, I want to get baptized, that's too far, because that means then there's commitment. And I think that's the same thing. They want the results without the commitment.
Yeah, and I guess when it comes to raising your children, the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, that's a responsibility of the parents. And to put that upon the parents, and when they realize it's going to take time commitment on their part, I guess $179 is not that big of a deal. But when, you know, it requires maybe moving from a two-income family to a one-income family, and when it comes to spending a half an hour to an hour a day just teaching your children as you sit in the house, as you walk by the way, as you rise up and as you lie down, any kind of a commitment of time on a daily basis, on a consistent basis, is something that the average person just simply doesn't want to do. That may be the reason why George Barna also gave us the one data point several years ago. Only 1 in 20 American parents have ever done family worship where they read the Word of God to their children in the home. Only 1 in 20 born-again parents have ever done that. It's only 5%. So, which means that at the end of the day, there just isn't much of a commitment to apply the time and the energy and the commitment of soul and spirit, mind and heart, to the discipleship of their children in the home. I think that's probably the core issue. It's a matter of commitment, as you said. Take a break. Be back with more in just a moment.
What happens when a culture that was established and guided by biblical principles abandons the faith and seeks to live by its own wisdom? In his latest groundbreaking work, Epic, The Rise and Fall of the West, Kevin Swanson unfolds the dramatic history of Western civilization, highlighting the phenomenal impact that Jesus Christ and his people have had upon the thought, culture, and institutions of the Christian West, as well as tracing the slow but devastating decline of Western civilization and the key factors that have led to our spectacular fall over the centuries. A sobering narrative of gospel hope, this book urges its reader to greater fervency in the work of discipleship and the development of an international vision for the church. This is truly a must-read for any Christian seeking to understand the times and seasons in which we live. You can claim your hardcover copy of Epic, The Rise and Fall of the West by visiting generations.org/store today. That's generations.org/store.
And we're back on the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you, Steve Vaughn as well. Shocking statistics and various news items today on this edition of the program. 84-86% of American Christian parents are concerned about their children's spiritual well-being, that their children stay true to the faith. And yet we continue to see a massive migration away from church membership, a 45% drop-off in church membership for millennials. And so, what gives? Apparently, there's some good intentions, but not very much application. And the same thing here. I mean, this is one of the most surprising things I've seen in my history of broadcasting and following major media sources. Fox News has got this major campaign against Disney, and I'm confused about this. I thought Fox News was pro-homosexual. They hired some guy in drag to be their correspondent on Guys in Drag. What's his name? Bruce Jenner.
Yeah, Bruce Jenner, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're big on this, but then somehow they're upset with Disney. So I haven't understood this very well. Now, we've been warning people about Disney for 15 years, but here's this is a front-page article on FoxNews.com last week. 10 families swearing off Disney due to its left-leaning policies. Some families across the country are reconsidering their previously Disney-friendly stance in their homes or their lives, including the movies, the streaming service, the theme parks. That's partly because Disney CEO Bob Chapek has opposed a new bill signed into law this week by Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. It's known as the Parental Rights in Education Bill. The law prohibits Florida teachers from instructing very young students, those in kindergarten through third grade, about gender identity and sexual orientation, et cetera, et cetera. It's not just this. Disney World and Disneyland have decided to ban the use of gender greetings. And this is all Fox News. Today's Disney, said one mom and grandmother, promotes a full spectrum of lifestyles that rarely align with biblical values of good and evil. This is Fox News. She explained Walt Disney most often cited his most important lessons as those of goodwill always triumphs over evil. Today, Disney promotes a full spectrum of lifestyles that rarely align with biblical values of good and evil, which God calls us to. That knocks my socks off. You know, it's Fox News. Did she say what I think I heard her say? You know, biblical values of good and evil? Biblical standards of good and evil? Isn't that stuff we've been referring to for the last 19 years of this broadcast, Steve?
Yeah. There are several correspondents on Fox that are outspoken Christians, and they'll talk about their faith, and Fox allows them to do that. But, you know, Fox is, I mean, they're okay with bringing on other points of view. I've read Fox News, and they'll have left-leaning people giving their perspective as well. So that maybe is part of their fair and balanced, you know, talk. You know, that, okay, we have Christians, and we've got to have, you know, transgender as well.
Well, friends, we've talked about how Disney has led the pack in bringing a secular zeitgeist into the public schools and into the popular culture to indoctrinate the kids and to serve as the Pied Piper of Hamelin, to take the kids down into hell together with them. And Disney has led the whole pack on this. And we have been critiquing this sort of thing for the last, 10, 15 years of this ministry. It's interesting also, I did a survey on boxofficemojo.com and the three largest animated film franchises in history, Toy Story being at the top of all of this. And this is why it's so insidious, and this is why it does come off as something of a conspiracy against children to completely indoctrinate them into a homosexual lifestyle. Three largest animated film franchises in history begins with Toy Story at $1.3 billion. And that, of course, has been homosexualized as of 3 weeks ago, Toy Story has committed to bringing the lesbian scene into the next spinoff of Toy Story called Lightyear. And this occurred after Pixar employees accused the parent company of cutting gay characters from the films. Disney actually put the lesbian scene back into the film. And this film is apparently being aired in June of this year. So Lightyear, another episode of Toy Story coming in just about 3 months from now. And the intent is that the most popular animated film series for children over the last 15 years, Toy Story, must be homosexualized in order that our children will be taken by the Pied Piper to hell with him. That's the goal of Disney. That's been the goal of Pixar. And I think it's been the goal from the beginning. Toy Story won the hearts of millions, hundreds of millions of children around the world. That's first. You've got to win their hearts first. Then you've got to be sure that the demonically controlled zeitgeist brings about a shift in the mindset of the corporate structure of these large organizations, and then they mass produce the homosexualization for the purposes of destroying and perverting the next generation of 6 and 8 year olds. Friends, that's exactly what's happened. Toy Story, the largest animated film franchise in history, $1.3 billion. Frozen's at $900 million. And that's been almost homosexualized. And then, of course, Nemo is the number three. And Nemo produced something of a homosexual symbol. It was a minor thing, but that was incorporated into Finding Dory, as I recall, several years ago. So that's an $800 million franchise. So these are the largest franchises for children's animated films in all of recorded history. And the goal is to homosexualize each one of them, and that's what has happened over the last 15 years. Now, of course, we've talked about what has happened to Disney along the way in the Stumbling Little Ones department. And friends, we, of course, have been criticized over this probably more than anything else, Steve, as you can recall. Now, here's Fox News going after Disney. We went after Disney. We went after Frozen. We went after these other franchises over the last 15 years. And, you know, we were subjected to blistering attacks as a result of that from pastors, from Christians, from Christian organizations. But now here Fox News is finally getting on board with the generation's agenda. Praise God, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing is, I think part of it is that you saw the hidden agenda. You saw what was going on sort of behind the scenes, because that's what you were looking for. Disney's now, you know, they've come out, and there is no question as to what they're trying to do when they're going against the bill in Florida. I mean, they basically said, we want to groom. We want sexualization and grooming of the kids from the earliest time of kindergarten all the way through. You know, why can't we tell them all about these, you know, sexual stuff? So Disney has come out and said, this is what we're for. You had been seeing that all along and saying, look, this, they're putting it in here. They're putting it in here. They're easing it in. And now they're saying it outright. And that's why Fox is now on board, because they're saying, hey, they're saying it outright. You saw it from the beginning.
Well, we were upset about Disney's Frozen many years ago. There's a light reference to bestiality. His thing for reindeers is against nature's laws. And we were upset with that. You don't bring that into a child's animated cartoon. And also symbolic references to homosexuality with their Born This Way, Born That Way theme, which was so strong throughout the Frozen franchise. And that was the basic ethical autonomy brought into the homosexual zeitgeist through the years. And that was mass-produced for children in Disney's Frozen. And we took issue with that. It's the wrong worldview. It's the wrong way of looking at ethics. You're not born this way, born that way. You can't do whatever you want to do when it comes to ethics or sexual ethics. And that was the kind of thing that was presented in Frozen. And then we got some pushback when we critiqued the insidious introduction of Harry Potter's mentor Dumbledore as homosexual. And then we addressed How to Train Your Dragon's little boy Hiccup's mentor who happened to be a homosexual, and we took issue with that. We said, hey, wait a minute. And then Disney's Beauty and the Beast that came out, what, in 2018? One of our listeners actually wrote in on this one. She said, when Pastor Kevin warned about Disney films last year, the media united to scoff at him. Yesterday I heard about the subject of the new live-action film Beauty and the Beast and its gay character. Won't send you any leaks, as many ministries won't click on them. You can just Google it. When I informed a friend about this, she told me that her church was planning to take a group of kids to see the film. Okay, so this was something that came to me when Beauty and the Beast was released a couple of 3 years ago. Male homosexuality celebrated on Beauty and the Beast. Disney's first, quote, exclusively gay moment hits the screens in Beauty and the Beast, celebrated by the zeitgeist. In an interview with Attitude Magazine, director Bill Condon said LeFou is somebody who on one day wants to be Gaston and another day wants to kiss Gaston. He's confused about what he wants. Somebody who's just realizing that he had these feelings. It's a subtle and delicious thing to bring out an exclusively gay moment in a Disney movie. That, according to the director. Well, friends, this is the kind of thing that Christians have been accepting for a long time and allowing their children to see and refusing to bring out a condemnation of this kind of thing. We are not to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And that kind of thing is not happening with the pastors. It's not happening with Christian parents. That's why I don't think Christian parents are being serious about the spiritual condition of their children. They're not concerned about the spiritual condition of their children as long as their children are participating in these sorts of cultural experiences. Well, friends, what does the Word of God say? Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, nor stands in the way of sinners. Boy, if that doesn't apply to Hollywood and Disney, I don't know what does. Every pastor in America should warn of wicked teachers in the public and private schools, wicked peers that lead astray pop culture, that leads our kids astray. Every parent should be concerned about these sorts of things. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths, for their feet run to evil. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not proceed in the way of evil men. That needs to be the teaching of every parent in America when it comes to Hollywood, Disney, and these other productions. And thank God Fox News is going up against Disney. And this may be the beginning of a heads up for parents, an increasing concern among parents for the things that are happening to destroy the next generation, to undermine the faith of each successive generation. Well, as we wrap up this program, let me encourage you to our little book on culture called The Tattooed Jesus, What the Real Jesus Would Do with Pop Culture. And this talks about these issues, but also gives you a framework by which to discern and to properly discern what to do with film, music, and these other aspects of pop culture. The book is The Tattooed Jesus, What the Real Jesus Would Do with Pop Culture, available at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Steve Vaughn inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.